Cliffcentral.com.
I've got something important to tell you.
Cliffcentral.com.
It is that time of the week. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Auto Central. Proudly powered by Auto Trader, your trusted motoring marketplace. Don't forget that you can join in on the conversation. Get hold of us on Twitter at Auto Trader SA. And of course, we're on the usual social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, even Pinterest, LinkedIn, and you're going to be wanting to go over to LinkedIn and update your profile and that, because we're going to be talking a little bit of business here today, and it's a very quiet studio, listen.
Crick, crick.
Crick, crick, crickets, yes. It is just myself, Chad Lukoff, and my co-host, Wilmarie Jansen van Rensburg, SA Speed
Hello.
Queen. Hello.
Handed.
Like a donkey self.
Did you guys miss me last week?
Absolutely, absolutely.
You lie, man.
No, we did miss you.
Well, I mean, I just had a wonderful time, which I'm sure we'll talk about just now, because we have quite a bit to chat about.
Well, yeah, we've got... Well, let's run through what we were looking at today. We're going to chat about the first round of the Formula One.
Yes.
For 2016.
Which was all racing this weekend.
It was, hey? It was fantastic.
It was wonderful for all motoring fans and lovers. I mean, we had the GP Qatar and we had Formula One Australia.
Formula One Australia, yep. Some of the others have already started in my circles with the drifting and that. You know,
they started
already. Although Formula Drift, the United States one, that actually only starts end of April. Surprisingly enough, so late
That's quite late, that they
only start there. We're going to be discussing the Formula One, the MotoGP a little bit, and then there's a big campaign from Auto Trader's side of things that you may be interested in. Times are tough. I mean, we know that times are tough here in South Africa. The every time Jay-Z decides he's going to shake his trophy cabinet or any cabinet for that matter and dust it off, the rand plummets, the economy goes belly up, and it's just absolute nightmare. So, you know, things are rough out there for just about everybody. Belts have to be tightened. I'm not going to say that we're in a full-blown recession, but things are, you know, tricky, and the outlook looks a little bleak as well.
It's very tough. Let me tell you now, being in Australia myself now, there's quite a few things I saw, especially in the motoring industry or in the motoring, whatever, and in the career side, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're going to talk about the campaign, the recruitment campaign.
Yeah, it's a recruitment campaign that's happening.
And I mean, I've got some info on that too, just to give you an idea of the difference between here, you know, with employment and there as well. It's very interesting. But it was so expensive there compared to here. I mean, our money is just, you can't even just put a zero behind it anymore. You know, it is more than that.
I mean, Wilmarie, both you and I, we do a fair amount of traveling. I mean, you know, and we go out and about and that, and we have been overseas and that. I've worked overseas, I've lived overseas as well, so I know how it is. But what we need to remember as well is that it's one thing our rand being weak, you know,
they earn differently.
So I don't believe it is so much about the exchange rate or the cost of living. It's more about minimum wage. Minimum wage is where the big difference comes in.
Yeah, but Australia gets good wages. Very good.
They
get paid very high wages. I mean, how do you even say that? Compared to what we get, an hourly rate, they get paid really well. And there is no, how can I say, you can be a cleaner, sweeper, and your job is respected. You know, no one looks down on you.
Absolutely,
everyone's got their place there, which I thought was quite amazing to see as well. But they're tough, you know, in terms of the colleges and things to get in. And you can't just say, I want to do marketing, I want to go study that. They want you to be in a specific
marketing. You need to specialize.
100%.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
That's what they stand for, specialized positions.
I saw that as well. I mean, I went with the US side of things. I was living and working in the USA. Granted, it was many years ago, but it hasn't changed all that much. And there were pros and cons to it. And, well, the reason why we're doing this is because Auto Trader does have a recruitment campaign. Mm-hmm. So they are looking for staff. We're going to get into the nitty gritty of that. But one of the major differences, just getting back to my point there, is they would go and they would study. Even from, I mean, when we were sitting here, and granted, I'm going to give away my age here. When we were sat and went into Standard 8, grade 10, you had to choose now what sort of subjects you're going to do. Mm. You know, are you going to do history? Are you going to do geography, biology? I was in the technical side of things. So I had to decide now, was I going to go and do electrical? Was I going to do machine work, fitting and turning? There were Motormax and all that sort of thing available years before that, unfortunately not available in my years, but you had to select your your trade almost, mm-hmm. and where you want to supply it. And I'm just going to speak from experience here from the technical side of things, is that I went and I chose fitting and turning, you know, which was basically like a mechanical aspect of things. And there we learned how to use a milling machine, a drill press, a lathe, you know, the whole works like that. We could work each and every one of those machines. And that's something that wasn't necessarily done in the USA at the time. There you choose one. So you'd just work as a turner, you know, working on the lathe. So you're only going to turn things, or you only work as a welder. And like I say, there's pros and cons to it, and I believe Australia is very much the same in the sense where you also specialize your studies. Because as you walk out of there, you are qualified to be, okay, we're going to use an example, a welder. And that's what you do. You do welding, okay? You have no idea how a milling machine works. You don't know how a shaping machine works, anything of these. You know, you are specialized.
And it's quite a bit of time that goes into that. So if you chose the wrong, so if you made the wrong choice, then sorry for you. You kind of have to sit it out and start again.
Yeah, you need to be very specific as to what you choose. Now, that works in the US, and it works in Australia now as well, because I'm from what I know is that they work on a very similar principle. South Africans were in fairly high demand at that point in time. Why? Because we could walk into almost a foreman position knowing what the entire workshop looks like, you know?
Can cover all
so
bases,
if you sit there and you do business or something of the sorts, you've got all the aspects from the sales to the business management to the legal to the financial, the accounting, the bookkeeping and all that. That's how broad spectrum our knowledge is. We haven't specialized in one thing, but you can walk in there into almost management position, a floor manager, a supervisor, something of the sorts, a branch manager, however it works, if you're in the slightly more academic side of things, and, you know, earn a decent pay grade because you know all those aspects. You haven't focused and specialized in one of them, but you know generally how everything is supposed to run. Make South Africans pretty much jack of all trades, but master of none. Well, and that's where their difference is.
The difference is 100%.
And let's talk cars. I always use the car analogy when we do this, is that in the US, if you went and you took your car to a workshop, they'd sit there and they'd go through the car and they'd take a look and they'd say, oh, well, your gearbox is gone. They would get their gearbox guy to look at your vehicle. It's not the same mechanic that's doing the engine or doing the brakes or the suspension. It's the gearbox guy. He specializes in it and he's getting paid. That means that on the workshop floor, they've got 9, 10 different mechanics, but each one's got a speciality. Whereas here, we just sit with three guys and they can do anything on the car. So you're not quite getting the same level, but the guy can do just about anything on the car.
Labor-wise, it's...
But there's a difference of 6 jobs there. You created 6 additional jobs with the American and the Australian way of thinking, going about things by getting them specialized. You know, you've got the best in the market, but you need somebody for each and every aspect of it. And as a car's got thousands and thousands of individual little parts and each one plays a job, it's the way that it should work with the workforce. Each and every person there should be able to contribute to society. And like you were saying, that there's a lot of respect when it comes to
any position.
Any position, you know, there's that sense of camaraderie, understanding that I can't do my job without you doing yours. You know, so I think there's a great sense of community in there.
No, it really is. You know, the interesting thing is the things that we create a lot of jobs, which is low labor pay, for example, washing the car, okay, you have to wash your own.
Yeah.
It was so funny to see because, I mean, there's the most incredible wash bays.
Yeah.
And it's standing there for you to put your credit in and wash it yourself. So I was amazed with so many little things because obviously that would be, let's consider cheap labor, but they don't focus on that. They start with a very reasonable pay, even for waiter.
Yeah.
And then, they pride themselves in making sure people have jobs there. And if you sit on the side of the road and you are begging for money in that, that's honestly your choice because there are sections where you can go to and ask for a house and money. And then they have apparently a card system where they put on the necessities on this card. Okay. So it would be medical. It would be food in a specific place and it would be considered something else, maybe transport. Okay. So it would cover the things you need to live. You can only use that card for those things at those places.
Can't use it for gambling, drawing
nothing,
money,
cigarettes, nothing. Or any of that.
Any of that. Okay.
So the system really works, and they give you a time frame to prove that you've tried to apply for jobs. So if you can't prove with CVs and applications, whatever, that you're actually looking for a job, then every month they'll give you a little less.
As a motivation to get you up and...
Yes, because they don't want you to get comfortable. They want you to help you, but you must still... So look, if someone is really trying and they're not getting a job, but they are trying, they'll keep it there. Yes. Where they can live, you know, it's not luxury, but it's necessities.
No. And but it's a scale-based, not a reward system, but a support system.
It's a support system, 100%. Yeah. So that for me was amazing to see, in all the different industries. And motoring, what I saw there is that they're not concerned about shopfront. Remember we spoke about this at one of our shows earlier on, where this is for the future, something that's going to change because it's so expensive for the dealers to be paying these huge shop fronts that we have here. There I can already see how it's changing.
So you've just got this small little hole in the wall and you pretty much order it. They don't need 100 of cars on the floor. You know, they're just going to...
They already working on the system of you phoning. You have an idea already what kind of vehicle you want. Do we have one? We'll bring it to you. You can test drive it and then there's the sale.
It's almost doing away with it completely. Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's ever going to disappear. We still like that sort of in the same way that
touch and feel.
Yeah, the touch and feel in the same way that magazines and newspapers are never really going to completely disappear. They're going to dwindle and diminish, you know, but
it works.
People still want.
It really works.
In the age of MP3s and you're sitting here listening to, you know, internet radio and that, you still go out and you buy a CD. Heck, I've gotten into the vinyl thing. I'm going and I'm buying further back because I'm appreciating, you know, sound and technology.
But there comes the classic cars again, you know,
I suppose
those kind of
things. No, that's taking it on a slightly different one. But there is still that tactile approach that people still do want from the, I think, the whole buying experience. And to buy completely sight unseen and undriven, I can't see us ever getting there, you know,
but
it's going to get close.
It's going to get close. I must tell you, because also wherever you go there, they have free Wi-Fi spaces, hotspots for you. Okay.
Yeah,
no. So there's really no excuse for you to do your research, to find out, to see what it is you want or to set up your, wherever they pick you up or whatever the case might be. You don't really need data or anything. You can get away with whatever it is you need there. It's support, like you said earlier. The government, they're supporting the people to be able to look for jobs, to buy the easiest, to shop.
Basic necessities in there.
100%.
Yeah.
So there I could see on the motoring side, things are changing big time. What was very interesting for me is, have you heard of Holden?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the two big ones. I mean, you've got your Holden and your Ford. It's you're either one or the other. It's essentially a General Motors product or it's a Ford product.
Yeah.
You know, Australia's big on that.
It's,
yeah.
It's these strange badges. And I was like, what is that?
It's a glorified Opel.
Exactly. Okay.
That's all that it is.
But you know that they are closing the factory.
I heard that. I did hear that now. I actually meant to do a little bit of research and to find out what the exact reasons, but I was hearing that, you know, Holden shutting down. I can't
2017,
see it.
Apparently. They've already made the decision.
So they're scaling back. They're not shutting down.
No, they are. They're completely letting go of the car side of it, of things.
Wow.
They're going to be importing. I actually forget from where exactly, but apparently it's cheaper because of the fact that their labor rate is so high. It's going
to
be.
They've got no savings to pass on to the customer.
Exactly. You know, so it's cheaper for them to import the vehicles than what it is to actually do it there.
And this scares me, hey? Because, I mean, this was something that was highlighted a couple of years ago, was the fact that in general, your Asian labor tends to be very cheap. And, I mean, there's so much hoo-ha made up about the production and, you know, abuse of cheap labor in China, predominantly your Asian countries and South American countries and the likes, whether it's child labor or just almost slave labor, if you can call it that. And they were just managing to pass off these products in massive quantities, huge, huge volumes for next to nothing. They were making their profit on the amounts that they were selling, not on their profit margins, not on how much they were selling it for. And that was hurting, you know, economies all around the world. And statisticians back then were saying that, you know, even the car industry is going to start going that way because as long as they've got this business model where they're working for next to nothing and they're producing cheap products for the rest of the world, the other economies are not going to be able to survive because it comes down to that bottom line and everybody's just going to go for what is essentially the cheapest.
It is. It's a tricky thing. It was very interesting for me to find out more about this, you know, because it does have a ripple effect, 100%. And the things, but now you must also understand they have some of the top because they specialize in education, mm-hmm. and they have top engineers and things, that it's quite a big percentage of Australia's employment that is going to be unemployed if they don't get to use those staff or how can I say, get other contracts in. So they are putting out
where the skilled
artisans, exactly, yeah. Where the skill can be used. So they are putting out tenders, it seems, okay. For what exactly, I'm not 100% sure yet.
Does it look like it's going to be still in the car sector?
No, not at all. So they're moving completely away from the car side,
yeah.
But using the skill, and they want to keep the labor,
yeah.
Obviously keep them employed.
Yeah, because I mean the ripple effect just there internally in Australia could be an absolute
huge
nightmare.
Yeah.
I mean, it was, we saw similar with in the US, Detroit, when they started closing down plants and that, and
yeah.
You know, and there were so many people that
it's
were
big numbers
that
eh?
Were that were lost and unemployed and suffered at the crash of the motor what was essentially your motor town, Detroit City.
Yeah,
car industry collapse.
So how do you feel about it? Because for me, I'm in two minds, because cheap labor has its advantages because it keeps more people employed, but it also has its disadvantages because those people are struggling to survive, and you know what I mean? But do you put it up too much? Then you're sitting with a look at this problem now that they've got that they can't manufacture there locally. They have to bring it in.
Yes.
So it's really quite
it is. It's convoluted.
Yeah.
It's tricky, and I don't think that there is one singular solution. I would like to see a better, because you're talking about human lives here, and to be, you know, just, you know,
a better solution.
Basically, first do no harm, and no harm includes let them work for a respectable amount of pay so that they can survive, so that it's not slave labor.
Mm.
It doesn't need to be astronomical. We don't need to make them rich overnight. You know, a workforce is a workforce.
Yeah.
If you are manual labor, you are manual labor. But still, be taken care of, work the decent hours. Corporate greed is probably one of the biggest ones.
Yeah.
And they're sitting there and they, it's just,
and
just to increase their margins. And I mean, I see it. I mean, a government's got a strong place to play, but I'm just looking at our car review for this week.
Yeah.
It's the Audi Q7. Okay. It's an expensive car. It's a very pricey car. But what got me there was the cost of certain things. Options list. You can't justify it.
Hmm.
You really can't justify spending that amount of money, and you can't come here and tell me that it's the exchange rate. Rubbish. It's expensive no matter where you go. You go and do any research on it, and you're going to find out that it is a general problem, and I've said it before. That
kind of ridiculous.
There's a lot of the manufacturers that are going absolutely crazy with their options list. So I can understand the thinking, but just because I understand it or I see their point of view doesn't mean I agree with it.
Hmm.
Keep the base vehicle price down. You know, so that there's not a lot. Make your money on the extras, okay? So that you want creature comforts, you're going to pay for it.
Pay for 100%, creature comforts. But don't let everyone suffer for necessities,
yeah,
basically.
You know, yeah. That's the thing, you know. So don't pay them a little more. I mean, even if you need to increase the price of vehicles, and vehicle price increases are going to go up. It is a fact. Worst case scenario, statisticians there at the West Bank Car of the Year were saying that there's going to be almost a 200% increase in car prices, and that means that an entry-level car, we're talking like Datsun Go or something of the sort, or Chevy Spark, and that it's going to cost you over 200,000 rand.
And it's something like they don't even have an airbag, or what was it that they don't
have?
Well,
the Datsun Go was, yeah, you know, there was no ABS in that.
Oh, there we go, we ABS. Still spoke about
it. So, you know,
that's
granted,
insane.
They're setting a certain level so that vehicles have to have at least driver airbag and ABS, mm-hmm. you know, but you're not getting much.
Yeah.
You know, you're getting a basic car. I know we always say there's no such thing as a bad car anymore, but hey, not all cars
depending
are created equal.
Price,
this is
yes.
an animal farm, but not all cars are created equal, people. And, you know, depending on how much you're going to spend, and the thing is the salaries aren't increasing. The cost of living isn't coming down.
100%, but
you know,
the pricing of the cars
are. But the pricing
are.
Of the cars are. So
yeah,
that's
so
why we're going to see that sort of the vehicle sharing, the leasing, that sort of thing
yeah,
is going to start coming to fruition and being more and more viable.
It's definitely going to, because that was something that amazed me on that side too. And I think most people there actually don't need their own vehicles because the transport there's, the public transport
a public
is
transport
incredible.
System. Yeah.
There's a, what do they call it? The tramp?
Mm.
What a strange
little
name.
Tram, yeah.
Or tram, there we go, sorry. Yeah. The tram, tram lines. And then buses and taxis. Okay, yes, taxis, those things, they are quite pricey. Tram is not, and they pretty much go everywhere. Very easy to follow.
But it's an old infrastructure that's constantly been upgraded and the city built around
constantly upgrading it, and this is the incredible thing. You swipe it. If you get off here and you get back on just now, as long as it's in the vicinity, they don't charge you again.
Oh, yeah.
So they've got lots of interesting ways of working it out. They also have, the car sharing thing we were talking about. I saw a few cars parked along the way now with this. So there's certain companies, Go something, I can't even remember all the names, and it's fancy cars, it's nice cars.
Respectable, yeah.
Yeah, but there the cars can be parked outside. You have Porsches outside, you have decent cars parked outside at night. It's not getting stolen, okay, or damaged. Yeah. So these cars that you know, the sharing cars and that, it's great because it somehow works on a system that you book it, you pay for it, and then they somehow electronically unlock it for you. You get in, you drive it to where you need to, you leave it there, you carry on with either public transport or whatever else. It works so well. The system, you see it everywhere across the town. You see them parked here or parked there. You phone them, you tell them this is what you want. They'll tell you go there because there's one parked there and we'll unlock it for you when you're there, basically. In short.
It's a system and it works,
It works. It really works.
That's the biggest problem is that we don't, granted South Africa's got a massive gap between, transport prices and that sort of stuff. You've got your Ubers on one side and then you've got your typical minibus taxi on the other side. Your buses in between are not really, they're causing more of a problem than what they're actually alleviating, I believe.
There's a huge gap.
Gautrain, I know there's plans for expansion on Gautrain.
But it's still limited to where it goes.
Extremely limited. The buses, the Gautrain bus service does help as well. But why do we have all these separate factions? I know maybe I'm sitting here and I'm coming across very, very very EFF in the nationalization of something, but there needs to be a decent management of it and almost a nationalization of it. So sit there and say, municipally, you will manage the public transport, be it minibus taxis, be it, or just buses. A bus service of sorts can work. Buses, trains, public transport in the country is an absolute mess.
Yeah, and that was surprising for me there. Look, safety is it's safe. You know what I mean? Look, I did, while I was there, there's crime on TV. It is what it is. But transport, it's safe. And also what was so interesting is when there is crime, they've got those cameras everywhere.
That's a little disconcerting. Your big brother type cameras.
It's everywhere, but it's great for crime because what happened while I was there is there was this huge youth outburst in town. It was a big thing for Australia. It was like within 2 hours, they already caught like 30 of the guys. They used the cameras. They traced them back. They know. So you can't hide, somewhere that camera picks you up, etc. And I think that's why the cars are safe. That's why public transport is safe, because they'll catch you. If you do something, they are going to catch you because the cameras pick you up somewhere all the way along the line. And that's something,
I've never really liked that idea, though, of having
But it works.
It's this sort of Skynet constantly watching. I know it's happening more and more as it's going along. Technology is sitting
there. It's everywhere, and you probably don't even know half
of it. You pick up your phone, and straight away your maps, whether it's Apple Maps or it's Google Maps, whatever it is sitting there. It's telling you, hey, it's going to take you 25 minutes to get home now. Whoa. I didn't ask you anything.
You're
sitting there and you're knowing that I want to go home now because this is now my patterns.
Privacy is a little different.
Patterns. You know where I am. You've judged the traffic patterns and my schedule and it's a little disconcerting.
But if you look at the solution for me, I'd rather have that, cameras everywhere, then have what we have, that you can't actually use public transport the way you'd like to, and there's no hijacking things there. There's no those kind of crimes and that. It's very, very different.
I know, we're in a motoring show here, but there's a lot of problems in that need to be addressed. And I want to take this back to what we were saying in the beginning. You were saying it was expensive. Yeah, but the cost of living isn't necessarily that high for an Australian. You know, he's earning a little better, so he doesn't need to resort to crime.
Yeah,
you
they earn more, obviously, in line with the way they see it, from what I understand that the people explained there, is that things are more expensive because they can afford it. So they get salaries that can help them afford it. Plus, they have the government support system for those who can't or struggling with a job. Governments are so active in helping with recruitment and getting jobs, which I want to ask you more about the auto trader thing. How does that work?
I know we've digressed completely for the last while. But what's happening is auto trader is pretty much going on a massive drive to go and recruit, you know, the right people. And
for what positions?
Predominantly sales positions.
Okay.
You know, they want to make sales great again, but they need the right people for that. AutoTrader is one of those companies that believes that you hire people first based on character and personality, not necessarily a skill set. Skills can be taught, and they can. You know, you can 100%. even a monkey can be taught to count. But to get the right character and the willingness to work and the right sort of engaging personality, and you can't teach that. You know, you can guide somebody, but if it's not in them, it's not in them. You know, it's not who they are. So AutoTrader is going on a massive drive and looking for the best potential employees, mostly in sales. The premise around it is making sales great again by hiring the right people that are a right fit for the job and the organization. But they need to be ready to become industry experts.
Is there a framework? Yeah, age, gender, experience?
No, not really.
So no CV requirements?
No hard and fast sort of.
Obviously, motoring must be.
Motoring, you know, there are certain things that are going to be beneficial. You know, it's not a case of, well, don't send it in if you, you know, if you don't have X or Y. No, send it in because you may be. Okay, so if you have been in the motoring industry, beneficial. Okay. If you have had sales experience, beneficial. Okay. After that, pretty much just, can you sell? You know? Yeah. And what sort
of
personality?
Do you have the personality that can?
Do you have the drive? Do you have the passion for it? So it's passion. Individuals that are passionate about the motor industry. Whether it's passionate about cars or passionate about sales, if you're passionate about both of them, even better.
It's a bonus.
Even better, yeah.
So now, do we know how many positions or is this still...
Well, there's a good few. I think we've got you've got the numbers there by you. I think it's 43 applications have been received so far. More than 43 applications. But if you are,
yeah, I see 43.
Yeah, 43 there. Got the details there. And if you are interested, if it sounds like something, and you'd like to, or you could see yourself working for AutoTrader, then you need to either send your resume, your CV, to salescareers. salescareers@autotrader.co.za. We'll post these addresses out on our Twitter and Facebook and the likes of that.
Media.
Take a look for basically the social media drive, the recruitment drive that's happening, the campaign that is happening. Or you can go and you can log on to AutoTrader Careers. AutoTrader Careers. It's all one word. .co.za/jobs.
And I'm sure there'll be more detail on
there's
the position.
There's more details there,
as well.
Yes. And you can go and take a look there. And really, you really do need to go out there. If you are in the job market or you're thinking of changing, I'm going to give you a little bit of a sneaky little tidbit. We were talking about how, you know, every time Jay-Z decides he's going to dust off his cabinet or something, the Rand takes a plummet, et cetera, et cetera. New car sales are down. They are.
Okay.
Well, that's okay. Because AutoTrader deals with new car and used car.
Yeah.
People are always going to be buying cars. Fact. Bunt, ain't it, klar. People are always going to be buying cars. They always want something new.
Or selling or whatever the case.
Something new to them.
Yeah.
They want something new to them. So if they're not buying a new car, they're going to end up in a used car. And I don't care who you are, still going to end up at AutoTrader. Whether they're looking for a new car or a used car, they're going to end up at AutoTrader. And that gives AutoTrader a fantastic longevity as well.
But I think it's important to say, from what I know of AutoTrader now, you know, for the time we've worked together, that AutoTrader will not surely be looking for people that are there for quick fixes. It's long-term relationships.
Absolutely.
So if you want to...
The right people, the passionate people.
Yeah, if you want to apply, make sure this is something you want to do long-term.
Listen, applying also doesn't mean that you're in.
Yes.
You know,
no,
applying means that
like anything.
You know, that you've put your name forward at each and every application will be reviewed. That much we can guarantee you. Okay, is that each and every application will be reviewed. However, if you are not a fit, you may not get called up for one of those interviews and that. And it's going to happen. Maybe you're just not the right person for the job. Don't give up. Keep on trying. Keep on going. But hey, send it in. You don't know. It is, I'm not going to say it's a lucky draw, but you may have exactly what AutoTrader is looking for.
Do we know if this is only Gauteng based or is it in different areas? Okay, so I think let's go on to AutoTrader Careers and just see for some more detail on that side. And I'm sure there'll be contact detail as well.
That's actually a good question. I'm actually not quite sure if this is a local one or not. I was also just, you see, I'm already working there, so I'm already focused on stuff. But that's a very good question. I'm not sure if it is local or national, but I mean, AutoTrader is based all around the country. Yeah. You know, there's Cape and there's Durban as well, the major centres and that. But there's also servicing needed in outlying areas. Mm. So, hey.
Well, if you have a question that you feel is not being answered, just send it to @AutoTrader.
Judging by my last response, there may be many questions.
And then we'll help answer all of those for you. I think that's important. But that's quite exciting. So that's a big thing for the motoring industry as
well.
That
is. That is a fantastic one. So in this time where, you know, jobs are a little, tough to get a hold of. There are retrenchments happening. You know, give it a go. Give it a bash. Send it in, you know. No you ticket, no one. Yeah. All right, we're going to take a quick break. But when we come back, we're going to chat about the Formula One, some of the racing, and then we're going to get into our review.
This is CliffCentral.com. Choice. Sometimes you have it, and sometimes you don't. AutoTrader gives you the choice. Now you can shop, compare, and buy new cars. Watch our expert video reviews and research before you buy. AutoTrader New Car. The choice is yours.
And we're back. Yes. Well, just a quick mention on that. We just got clarification there in that little bit of a break that our recruitment campaign is national.
National. Yeah.
So it is national. And we're not only looking for sales, we're also looking for some tech-savvy digital people as well. So if you want to work in a digital environment, whether it's web design, app design, that sort of stuff as well, send your stuff in.
It's proven that AutoTrader is a step ahead of, I think, everyone and anyone in the industry with regards to
Digital. Yeah. I mean, in terms of digital marketplace ownership and presence, absolutely. You know,
so definitely is
and
the
innovation
way
as well. Yeah. So it is. I mean, it's a fantastic place. It's dominating the digital world. It sounds like an exciting place to work, and it is an exciting place to work.
Yeah.
So autotradercareers.co.za/jobs. Or sales careers at autotrader.co.za, or even just go onto the AutoTrader website, go and search for the contact us and jobs section of the website. Go and take a look there, careers option on the website. Go and take a look there and just follow the links. If you are of the digital sort of mindset in that, then you should be able to find your way there. This isn't a massive logarithm that you need to
or just tweet write us. Up.
Yeah, you can tweet us and get a hold of us. The usual social media handles and that at AutoTraderSA. Now we're just going to move over. Vilmarie, while you were in Australia,
yes,
you got to tick off something on your bucket list.
Yes, Formula One Melbourne. That's truly is a bucket list thing. Mm-hmm. Everyone should do it. It was incredible. And you know what? 2 days before that, it was raining. It was miserable. And I'm thinking, hoodie and umbrella and, you know, off we go to Formula One.
Yeah.
And the morning of Sunday morning, it was sunshine. It was beautiful. And Australia specifically, the guys were saying, the racers were saying as well, that it is one of the best races for them because it really is a well put together, managed event.
And I mean, it is a fiasco. It really is. It's a massive undertaking.
It is absolutely huge. The people that set that up, I mean, because I was now there for the week before, you know, coming up to the race.
Yeah.
So it was interesting to see all the open roads. Next day, suddenly this one's closed and then this one's closed. And
just overnight.
So, and overnight, suddenly things just transpire. It completely just, it's like putting up a building, you know, within 3-4 days. And you have people standing on the side who don't pay for tickets, you know, who try and like get over the fence and sit in the trees. They sit in the trees to watch
to
the
try
race.
And watch the race.
Yeah. And some of the big buildings that are obviously right there, you look up, I actually have photos somewhere of it. I should tweet it. And I'm sure that guy, or each person that owns that flat or whatever you want to call it, rented it out at like $1,000 per
No doubt they do that.
For a ticket because
I don't doubt
the
it.
Balconies were covered. You know, the people, there was a lot of people. And the awesome thing was you never felt crowded. You didn't feel too crowded. You could go all the way around the track.
So nice and spacious. And laid out nice and open.
Absolutely incredible. You can go through the middle because they build a bridge over the little dam there. So you can literally go from one side to the next. You can go all the way around the track. When you go to races here, and I think this is what Turby Venter wants to change, because remember he spoke about it.
Yeah, no.
When you go to races here, unless you have a FIM VIP type of ticket, you actually really don't get to enjoy it as much, you know, and I think that's why we lost so many spectators over the years with motorsport. Where I promise you, I mean, I went there as a pleb, let's call it that. Okay.
Yeah, a complete newbie.
It's a newbie. I was like, a ticket at the gate. Let's do this, you know.
On the topic of that, ticket prices expensive?
No. I think it worked out 500 rand a ticket.
Which, you know, really isn't bad. Is that just general admission, grandstand sort of?
But the general is not general. This is what I'm trying to say. It is everything. The only thing it doesn't cover is going into the actual Formula One pits.
Thank you.
Okay.
Actually, that's a good thing.
Yeah. Yes. But other than that, you have access to all the entertainment you can think of, all the food you can think of, and decent stuff, you know, games and space and views of the track. Literally everywhere is a good view. You can go, it's up to 5 meters from the actual track.
Wow, that is fantastic.
So you get to feel it, you get to hear it, you get to experience it. You can lie under a tree, literally, and wait because the race is an hour, or wait for the race. But they also had it so well organized that there was never a dull moment. They even had Mick Doohan, which was great for me to see.
Yes,
he came in and
a name I haven't heard in ages.
They did a time trial type of thing with the new AMG Merc, and he was in the Formula One car. And so it was a race car, standard car, and the Formula One car. So they start them out different times to see and to show how fast the Formula One car is as well, you know, so how quickly it catches up.
Yeah.
That was fascinating to see. Mick Doohan won. So I was quite happy, you know, yay for the bike side.
Yeah.
But and they had I don't know enough about planes, but I know George would have been excited.
Yeah.
But this is one of those sound breaking, barrier breaking things. Mm-hmm. What do you call those, like, really loud
jet fighter?
Yes.
Okay, there we go.
There we go. Did a show for us, but a proper one. I've never seen. It puts our air show to shame.
To shame. Aye.
It's a whole nother level. So there was never a dull moment. There was awesome racing in between. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, they don't always show all of them on TV. Yeah.
Yes,
you know,
yeah,
like with the GP as
yes,
well.
Yes, yeah, you've got your curtain raisers and the likes. You know, GP2s
exactly.
And 3000s and that.
And the rest of the time it's ads and those kind of things. But when you're there, you are busy the whole time. Food is spectacular. It's affordable too. You know, in general, outside of that, it's not so affordable.
Yes,
but there it was.
It almost lures the people in to come and attend it, is the fact that, you know, you've spent X amount. And what was that? I mean, if you say it's 500 Rand, then it's $40 or so?
Yes, it would be about $40.
$40 for a ticket. And then, you know, you've spent $40 on a ticket. So,
why
do you need to spend another $40 on your food and that? No, you know, just for $15 to $20, you can still, you know, eat for the entire day.
And you can take some of your own stuff as well.
That's fantastic.
And also the accessories, caps and jackets and shirts.
And memorabilia and that, yeah.
Affordable.
Wonderful.
It is absolutely affordable. I mean, I think a cap was about a shirt, but I'm talking a nice Ferrari shirt.
Yes.
I had to get one. Was about 350 Rand.
Wow.
So work that out. Yeah, you would not pay that. You're going
to
pay
more.
You go
to your GP stores and your Ferrari kiosks and that.
And you're going
to add a zero to it.
Exactly. Okay. So honestly, everything there was affordable, good quality, great entertainment. You should do it. Everyone should do a Formula One
Sadly, we're not going to see it here locally. I mean, we've spoken to Toby about it, and like he says, it's too expensive. Yeah. It's not financially viable for the country, yeah. And as such, the he's not even going to gear the track towards it because he knows that it's not.
But
going
government
to
gets involved there also, which they have here previously, but. Where did it go? Exactly. So we're not even going there. But you know what? Plan a race that's somewhere where you want to go visit someone. I have to tell you though, that if I didn't have someone there that I knew where I could, that I could stay with and that it would have been traveling wise. Mm-hmm. If you have to have your own car or taxis, it's expensive.
Yeah.
Parking vehicles there, Chad, that's a whole nother ball game.
Really?
They don't want cars in the city. Mm. So
it would encourage public transport, naturally.
Exactly. So when you do have your own vehicle, you can pay up to R1,000 for 2-3 hour parking spot.
I know.
I promise you. And the worst is it is tight.
Really?
Tight, squeezing. It's like I'm thinking I appreciate the space we have here now. We really do have space.
It's congested. Well, listen, it's not to say that they're lacking in space. You know, it's not a tiny little country. You know, it's not like the UK or something.
No, but they build to spare space.
Yeah, they've just utilized everything.
Yes.
All right, well, Ville-Marie, it sounds like you thoroughly enjoyed it. Let's just give you a bit of a rundown there. Of course, Nico Rosberg taking the win there for Mercedes-Benz. He was followed by Lewis Hamilton. Old Vettel came in third there. So it's Mercedes-Benz, Ferrari. Good run from Daniel Ricciardo, though. And, of course, for him, it is a local race for him. He is Australian.
Did you watch, though?
I didn't watch it. No, I didn't.
The sad thing was, you know, two Ferraris were the start, one and two. And Hamilton three. Okay, so I was quite happy.
Yeah.
You know, it was great. And they were like, woohoo. Then there was a crash, which I'm sure you heard about,
yes, Alonso. Yes, Alonso's crash, yeah. So
huge
big
crash.
Big crash, but...
Red
flag, race restart, the whole works.
This changed the whole ball game, the restart. And this is how Hamilton and
strategy on
got
it.
In
but
front
also
of the game.
It was, just poor planning on some of the other drivers reading the post-race reports, poor planning on some of the other drivers like Vettel staying out on super softs and that. And by the end of the run, his tires were done. There wasn't a chance for him to pit. He was too much in the fight. It would have just thrown it away.
It was quite a combination though. But you know, like anything, if you have to have a restart, if you had a bad start to start with in the race and you can somehow make it up with something like this, good for you, you know, but Ferrari couldn't hold it, unfortunately.
Yeah. No, a little bit of luck, a little bit of strategy, but now, of course, Ferrari's strategy is going to be a little bit weak because their primary strategist is actually with Team Haas, which is basically almost like Ferrari's B team this year, and Ferrari's primary strategist is now sitting on with Haas. So that's one of the reasons why the likes of Romain Grosjean. He did so well. Unfortunately, it was his teammate that Alonso crashed into. So, who was the...
Yeah, because that's just
the
sad.
The first run, Esteban Gutierrez.
Yeah.
You know, it was his teammate there. He was the one that got involved in that accident with Alonso. Of course, if you did miss it, Alonso dived out on the outside.
Into the back of him.
Yeah, Gutierrez came off the power, but he also stepped out a little off to his left. Alonso tried to pass him around the left-hand side of the outside of the corner there and just misjudged the sort of speed difference between the two of them, caught the back of Gutierrez's car and just... From there into the wall,
perfect
rolled
example
it,
of
but climbed out of it, and within a few minutes he was walking around the pits again. And yes, so it is
technology. We were talking
technology.
About technology.
It is fantastic. It's technology in Formula One is various in varying different places, but safety.
He walked away,
paying
went
a
to
lot
the,
of attention
yeah.
to. You know, it's
they
as
are.
Safe as the cars
they
can
are.
Get.
I mean, it evaporates, basically. He gets up, he walks away, he has to go to hospital and gets checked out, but he's fine.
And did you notice how all his wheels stayed attached to his vehicle?
Mm.
Well, what was left of his vehicle.
Yeah.
To prevent your typical, and 2 days ago would have been Ayrton Senna's birthday, so, you know, in light of that, It's because Ayrton Senna, of course, passing away due to the fact that the wheel did come off, and it was that shock strut that pierced the helmet.
I have to tell you what was nice for me to see as well is they had quite a few things up for Schumacher as well.
Really, hey?
Yes, and that was really lovely to see. You know, no one's forgetting about him.
No, he's not gone and forgotten.
They have, and I even took a photo of one of the memory things that they have, and they have of a few drivers, obviously. But I obviously paid attention to him because he's still in there somewhere. And I had my Ferrari shirt on.
And you were supporting.
And my cap. I was supporting.
Well, yeah, that's, of course, the Formula One first round in that. Running a little out of time here, so I'm going to go over the results here. I'm going to tie your hands here with regards to MotoGP and that.
Oh, no problem. Yes. We can catch up later.
Yes, okay.
We are out of time. Eh?
Well, we are running. Valentino Rossi finishing up on top.
Dovizioso.
There we go. You'll know it a little better.
Youngster.
And Iannone coming. Dovizioso in second for Ducati. And for Ducati third, Andrea in Iannone. I don't know these guys. You know me. I don't follow it. That was now this past weekend. But the big hoo-ha was about Brad Binder.
Yes,
just,
South African.
Just by point. I want to get the exact numbers here.
I actually want to get him in because he's doing well. He's
doing absolutely fantastic. He's really having a fantastic time. I had it.
For those who don't know, he's a South African and KTM's just signed him.
Yeah, KTM, and he's running GP3.
Yes, so, and he's doing exceptionally well.
He's doing very, very well there. I just want to get to, because it was 0.007 seconds between Brad Binder and his first World Championship victory in Moto3. So that was absolutely fantastic. It was right just on the final straight that he was passed. He did have a bit of a slap on the wrist, and it could have been a lot different for him. Because he had a little bit of irresponsible riding in free practice 3 that put him back 3 positions on the grid. And had he had that little bit of an advantage, possibly it may have turned out. But you never know.
This is racing.
We're not holding him accountable there for that. This is a fantastic result from him. Let's keep an eye open for Brad Binder. He's doing amazing things. But now I just want to move on to, because it sort of does tie in, and I mentioned it earlier, our review this week is of the Audi Q7, and it's all new. Audi Q7, I got a chance to drive the 3-litre TDI in the Quattro. Tell you what a vehicle. Absolutely fantastic. I really enjoyed it. I'm not usually one for the big German SUVs and that. Yeah. Big SUVs, period. But this one was very, very nice. You get it in two versions. There's a 2-litre petrol, your FSI motor there, and then the 3-litre V6 TDI. 2-litre petrol starts at 907,000
Rand. I was too scared to ask.
It's the petrol one. 961,000 Rand. For the 3-litre V6 TDI. Believe it or not, they both make roughly the same power. 185 kilowatts from the 2-litre petrol, 183 kilowatts from the 3-litre diesel. But it's the torque that's different. 370 newton meters, which is quite a bit from a 2-litre. You know, that's a nice amount of torque. 600 newton meters from the diesel. Absolutely fantastic. So to say
so
that
it can pull that body.
It pulls beautifully. It is wonderfully strong in that. It's based on the MLB platform, which, I mean, is a little bit of a loose one. So it shares the platform with the new Audi A4, the B9, the A8, the D5 version there, and the Bentley Bentayga, that new Bentley SUV. So that moldable platform of theirs is being put to good use there, and it's lighter than before. It's also a little smaller, it's a little shorter, a little narrower, but there's more interior space now. They managed to get this right because they've used some clever materials in the construction, lighter, and the lighter body and the lighter overall weight means that it's not only more efficient, but it pulls better and performs better. Mm. They're claiming that it runs 6.3 liters per 100 kilometers on the combined cycle, the 3-liter TDI.
They're claiming.
No, I didn't get anywhere near that. It was hovering around 9.
Oh, really?
Yeah, 9 on a good day, you know, so it can be a bit thirsty.
Yeah, we need to check that.
But and I'm telling you now, that's the thing, is you're going to spend more than a million rand on this car. When I say here 961, you're not spending 961 on it, okay?
Is that baseline?
That's the baseline. And nobody buys a baseline Audi Q7. No. Plain and simple. You don't want it like that. I'm going to read out a couple of the options lists, okay? Because the options are very pricey. You want the S-Line Sports Package. You know your Audis. You're an Audi fan. I believe you drive one as well.
Yes.
The S-Line Sports Package, 72,000 Rand.
Oh, my my soul.
Metallic paint, 4,000 rand. Now, you can choose wheels here. So, 19, 20, 21 inch. Instead of 20 inch wheels, 29,800 rand. You want 21 inch wheels, 39,000 rand. You want sports seats, 23,800 rand. Or, if you want to spec...
Is that only the front, the two?
No, no, it'll be the full out. It's a seven-seater. It's a seven-seater as well.
Okay. Well, there it's still...
Yeah.
That price is
If
fair.
You want the Audi Design Selection interior, how much do you think it's going to cost? Granted, this is now door card trims, roof lining, carpets, you know, pretty much designer 40? Interior.
40?
170,000 rand.
What is it made of? Is it...
Unobtainium or something. Wolverine's back hair. I don't know.
Yo, that's insane.
It is absolutely bonkers. And I checked multiple sources. 170,100 rand.
So that's for interior. That's a specific.
That's a very specific. That's the best interior that you can spec.
My word.
The price of a Ford Fiesta is what you're spending
a car on interior. Seats. Yo, that's just wrong.
Okay, it is rough. The Matrix headlights, 38,500 rand. You know, Bose
what
audio.
What makes it Matrix? Explain.
It does come with a lot of adjustments. You know, it is a very, very clever lighting system. It is fantastic. It's not just appearances and that.
You know what? For me, it's on or it's off.
No. This does a lot more because, I mean, this car is actually, there's a lot of tech in the Q7. There really is. So don't sell it shy. There's a lot of tech in the Q7. But just to give you an idea here, I'm going to run through two more options. Bose Audio, 17,000 Rand. Bang & Olufsen Audio, 91,000 Rand. Those are your options. So this becomes a very expensive
vehicle.
There's
no in between there, eh? That's quite
there,
a jump.
There really isn't, no. I mean, it's got sound, but the Audi standard system. So it's very pricey. But, I mean, it is a wonderful vehicle. You know, if you can get past those options, if you're in the market for something that's about 1.3, 1.4, then you can start speccing it and have a lovely, lovely vehicle. It's a fantastic drive. It's beautifully comfortable. It's easy to drive. And it looks good, too. They've done away with the rounded lines, and they're starting to add a couple more edges to it and sharpen it a little bit. It looks really nice. It does really look good. It's also the first Audi SUV to use very high-speed FlexRay optical fiber data bus technology.
Meaning?
This interconnects all the electrical and electronic systems, including the multimedia interface, the adaptive air suspension, and all the driver's assistance systems, of which there are plenty. I can't even list them here, at an extremely, extremely high bit rate. So it's got almost like fiber connection between the communications, which means that the car responds, and it's making so many calculations, and it's just modifying itself on the fly so quickly that you can't even notice it. So, fantastic vehicle. My review is out, and on our YouTube channel, you can go and find the links to that.
I'm just curious quickly. Can you remember, where did they...
Social media as well?
Yes. Was this one in the Coty Car of the Year?
No, this one didn't make it into Coty. It was the XC90 from Volvo.
It's too new.
That was pretty much going up against it. No, not too new. I think this one was just possibly a little too old. I just missed the cutoff there.
Okay.
But unfortunately, we have run out of time. I do want you guys to go around to Facebook and go and take a look at the new Mazda MX-5 RF and tell me what you think about that one. You can chat with us on Facebook or on @AutoTraderSA on Twitter. From me, Chad Lukoff, I'm going to say bye-bye. And
Vilmarie, I'm going to go sleep.
You're going to go sleep. You do look a little jet-lagged right now. But we want to thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Please do join us next week. Same time, same place. We're going to got George back in studio and some fantastic guests from all of us at Auto Trader and here at Auto Central. Drive safe.
Cliff Central.
The revolution.
I've got something important to tell you. CliffCentral.com.